Oh, interesting. Good. Yeah, Bill.
You know, even if you make that choice, it's all right because you learn something from it. So the next time around, you maybe have a different choice, and maybe it's a choice of harmony.
Well, it's.
But it's always choice.
I wouldn't say it's all right because you have a very long detour. You know, you lose. Yeah.
Eternal. I mean.
And maybe some of us have done it in a past solar system. Maybe some of us have been what is called in the Bible the sons of perdition.
I mean, there is no judgment. It's just what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
The whole music harmony thing, I think, is kind of interesting because I think when people resist playing that note, it's because they kind of think like, well, everybody's trying to get, I want to be group, I don't want to be this, but
right.
What they're really actually resisting is their actual own note, their
right.
pure note. And
but that's a choice.
Well, I know, but it's just kind of interesting because I think people choose that other
so that
path
would be
because
a
they
groupie.
Have selfishness to go, but their pure selfishness would actually want them to play what is really the appropriate note for them. And that's why it's not harmonious, but they go the other direction.
Right.
It kind of reminds me.
You know, all of us in the wholeness way of speaking are somewhat selfish because we all operate according to our self-interest. But some people can see it's best for their self-interest to participate in playing the harmonious note so everything works better. Other people are just more short-sighted and think the best thing for their interest is to play the note the way they feel like playing it.
Yeah, they're going for the
yeah.
goal versus the
right.
goal.
Right.
It kind of reminds
so,
me of a talent
yeah.
show where you get these people to come up and think that they can sing.
Yeah,
and everybody's
fun to watch.
And these people actually, they're just crushed that the judge is telling them.
Yeah, they think they're really good singers.
And it's like, you got to be kidding me. They don't know they can't sing. You know?
The first time I heard myself on a tape recorder, I realized I was not singing material.
There was no
but it's like these guys on these talent shows do have never heard themselves on a tape recorder before. You know, it's like they think they're really good. The one exception was that that Japanese guy. What was his name?
William
Hung. Yeah. Boy, Simon Crowell never thought he'd amount to anything, but he fooled him. So all of us operate on the principle of self-interest, but the difference between the light and the dark is the light sees with greater vision. The dark just sees right in front of his nose. And he wants to operate right in front of him. The scripture says an interesting thing about the path, the dark path. It says, the person is a law unto himself. In a way, being a law unto yourself to some extent is good, but not just purely to yourself. Because if you're a law to yourself, then if you're in a choir, you don't think about, you think, well, I want to sing rock and roll, and you start singing Elvis while everybody else is singing a hymn. I mean, that just doesn't work to be just a total law unto yourself. You have to look at the group. The things of which you are a part and cooperate, and only be a law unto yourself within the sphere that it doesn't create disharmony to the whole. But if you're a law unto yourself completely, then that's part of what creates the choice on the dark path. That no one is going to tell you what to do, you know, type of thing, except for... And then it turns out that these people that choose the dark path do wind up having some tyrant telling them totally what to do. That's what it turns out to be, because the dark path is a path of tyranny, and the dark brother always has somebody above him that has total power over life and death over him. So he winds up not getting the freedom that he claims to be on the path of, which is very interesting. But when we put ourselves together to finally, the elements come together that we can incarnate as an individual entity, as a self-conscious entity, and we pick our first body. And it was probably in a type of situation where we were a tribal thing, caveman type situation was our first lives upon the earth. And we continue on this tribal path for some time. And I divide this into four stages. Stage one is the physical. On the physical, the person is very instinctual. And you go to these tribal people, and a lot of people think, boy, these tribal people are more evolved than us because, you know, they're in harmony with nature. They can sense what the animals are thinking. They have respect for animal form and planet Earth. In other words, these people are very instinctual. They've just arrived, put themselves together from the earth and the animals and everything. So they're very much in harmony with the earth. And many people make the mistake of thinking, well, these people are more evolved than us. Or dolphins are more smarter than we are, you know. It's just the fact that they're very in tune with the instinctual physical nature. And then we go through this for a period of many lives, just learning by trial and error. And by trial and error, we learn very slowly. And so perhaps it may take many hundreds of lives to get to the point of the next great step. And that's where we switch from polarization to the physical, where attention is totally on the physical, instinctual nature to the astral feeling nature. And then we begin to develop feelings. Instead of seeing your mate as somebody to just reproduce with, we see someone to love, to have romantic feelings toward. And then in this state, we're in this state for a long period of time where we're governed by our astral nature. And this is where, like I say, about 90% of humanity is what I call stage two right now. Most of the people living in the civilized world have evolved out of stage one, and they're in stage two, governed by their emotions. Now, there are still some stage ones in the physical, in the civilized world. You can recognize these would be men that's totally void of any romance. That their greatest fun is to watch football and drink beer and sex, and they have no interest, seem to have no interest in, like, ever buying a woman flowers or making them feel special and that type of thing, you know, the romantic parts. So there's how many are still on stage one is hard to tell, because even the stage one person still has a regular physical brain capable of training, and he can be trained to be just as much as anybody else. But he hasn't developed that romantic feeling, desire nature, desire to get rich, desire to succeed, desire to have romantic fulfillment. And all this is around the astral nature. Then the next step up I call stage three. Stage three is the mental person. Now, all of us have the physical brain and are capable of brain training. No matter what stage we're in, we all have the computer brain, which is essentially the same capacity. In other words, Larry over there has a computer. Say I pass out that same computer to all of us. Okay, all of us have the same computer, but all of us can do different things with it because we're at different levels of progression, different levels of knowledge as to how to work the computer. So all of us have the same brain with the same capacity, you know, unless you're injured or something. So we all have the same brain with the same capacity, but we all use it in different ways. We all have different abilities to optimize that brain. Now, the brain records everything that happens. Now, if somebody is, what do they call him, a solvent, like Dustin Hoffman was in that movie? Yeah, he put all his focus on just retrieving information. Okay, so he had a photographic memory because he put his focus there. It'd be like Larry pulling up, say he's got the Bible on his computer. He can pull that up and he can retrieve it word for word, the whole thing. You know, so if he puts his focus on doing that, he can do that. If any of us put our focus on that the way the Dustin Hoffman character did, all of us could do that. Matter of fact, there are some people that are born with, when they're like 5 or 6 years old, they're mathematical geniuses. They can multiply 10-digit number by 10-digit number, or a square of, or round out of pi to like 20, 30 digits and things like this. They have these fantastic abilities. And then a lot of them, by the time they get 8, 9, and 10, they just lose it. And then they're kind of normal after that. They're normal because of why? Because they shift their attention. They shift their attention away to other things. To maybe they got interested in sports. Maybe they got interested in music. And it shifts their attention away from that because you only got one span of attention. You only put it one place at a time. But you can put it here for a while and someone else for a while and then another place for a while, or you can put it on one place for a long period of time. If you put it on one place for a long period of time, energy follows thought, you can produce miraculous results. And you could memorize the whole dictionary if you wanted to, if you put your entire focus on there. But very few of us do that. And many people, like say, with these great abilities, lose them because they find there's a lot of more fun things to do than just multiply numbers in your head. So they find that the real world out there has exciting things to learn, exciting things to grab their attention, and because their attention goes out there, they lose that ability.